The Escape Plan on Olivet, The Prophecy of Jesus that ties together all other prophecies here on 153 Great Podcasts.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It's another edition here of The Escape Plan, The Prophecy of Olivet, The Gift of Jesus to His Church. Today, I'd like to continue my exposition of Matthew 24, beginning with the verse 32, concluding in verse 35. Now, let me make a statement here about the prophecies in the New and the Old Testament. Matthew 24 is like the backbone of a fish. Think of a fish skeleton, if you will, just for a moment. To the left side are the ribs of the Old Testament. To the right side are the ribs of the New Testament. All these ribs point to the backbone, Matthew 24. In today's lesson, we're going to not only learn about the parable of the fig tree, but we're also going to take a look at one of the Old Testament ribs, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7.
The parable of the fig tree 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. 33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. 34. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
Now recall that Jesus, just a couple of days prior, when he came into the city of Jerusalem the second time, the triumphal entry, he cleansed the temple, he cast out the money changers, and said that his house should be called a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. He returned to Bethany. This is in Matthew 21:18 through 22. And then on his way back, he sees the fig tree and he curses it. Let's listen to the scripture and the purpose of him cursing the fig tree.
The fig tree withered. 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. 19. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive.
Okay, so we see that Jesus curses the fig tree. And it has, he's hungry, it has no fruit on it. He is referring to Judaism, the temple system, the priests, the Pharisees. It's corrupt. He threw out the money changers. It's full of covetous people who are ringing the cash register versus piety. Now, we're going to turn to some Old Testament prophecies that predict this, but they also have a strong prediction for the end time of the church. First, we read in Jeremiah chapter 8, 10 through 13, that Israel is identified as the fig tree, okay? And he states that this fig tree is sick. It doesn't have any fruit because of its covetousness, if you read that in Jeremiah. And he says that both the priest and the prophet are unclean, and that he refuses to return to the Holy Land because they lack piety, okay? So Israel is the fig tree. The vine and the fig tree are always the metaphor of prosperity for Israel. Next, we see in Jeremiah 24, 1 through 10, that Israel is in fact shown as two baskets of figs, one good basket and one rotten basket. The Lord promises to redeem and clean and restore the good figs that will come back into the Holy Land. But the rotten figs, those who wouldn't repent, will not be restored. He predicts that they will be cast to the Gentile nations and they will be excommunicated and forbidden to enter into the Holy Land. Finally, in Hosea chapter 9, 1 through 17, again we see Israel is shown as a people who are unrepentant, and they're specifically identified as figs and wild grapes, but it's corrupt fruit, dried up at the root. And God says because of their lack of repentance, their lack of piety, their lack of love, that they are like the people in the fornication that happened at Baal Peor. And of course, that particular sin was heinous. I'm not going to talk about that today, but basically it's the sin of fornication. He goes on to say that their wine is a fornicating wine. It's the wine of fornication. Now finally, in Micah 4:4, and in the Micah chapter 4 prophecy, this is a prophecy of the Messianic age. And it's a prophecy of great tribulation time, and it's also a prophecy of the millennium. Both are there. So we see that this tells us that the church is going to go through tribulation, but it's also going to sit on the top of Mount Zion with Jesus when he brings in the Messianic kingdom. Again, in the Messianic prophecy of Micah chapter 4, the church is compared to God's prosperous fig tree. So the parable of the fig tree, as we see it in Matthew 24, is very important in what God is going to do in the end time. So what is the purpose of the fig tree parable in Matthew 24? Question. The purpose is to show us that Israel, being cursed, the old system of Judaism, will be restored during this church age, and it is one of the signs that we are entering, or we are in, great tribulation. And as you see that sign, the return of the Lord is extremely, extremely close. So those Old Testament scriptures are the left side of the fish, the ribs on the left side, the Old Testament prophecies about the fig tree. Again, there's one very important prophecy that people do not look at, and that's the prophecy found in Ezekiel chapter 7 that describes the great tribulation time and what is going to happen during this time. It's a little lengthy, but it's an important scripture to read, so let's read Ezekiel chapter 7 together.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "To am you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end, the end has come upon the four corners of the land. Three, now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you. I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. Four, my eye will not spare you, nor will I have pity, but I will repay your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." 5. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a singular disaster, behold, it has come. 6. An end has come, the end has come, it has dawned for you, behold, it has come. 7. Doom has come to you, you who dwell in the land, the time has come, a day of trouble is near, and not of rejoicing in the mountains. 8. Now upon you I will soon pour out my fury, and spend my anger upon you, I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations. 9. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity, I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. 10. Behold, the day, behold, it has come, doom has gone out, the rod has blossomed, pride has budded. 11. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness, none of them shall remain, none of their multitude, none of be them, nor shall there be wailing for them. 12. The time has come, the day draws near, let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is on their whole multitude. 13. For the seller shall not return to what has been sold, though he may still be alive, for the vision concerns the whole multitude, and it shall not turn back. No one will strengthen himself who lives in iniquity. 14. They have blown the trumpet and made everyone ready, but no one goes to battle, for my wrath is on all their multitude. 15. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and famine within. Whoever is in the field will die by the sword, and whoever is in the city, famine and pestilence will devour him. 16. Those who survive will escape and be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, each for his iniquity. 17. Every hand will be feeble, and every knee will be as weak as water. 18. They will also be girded with sackcloth. Horror will cover them, shame will be on every face, baldness on all their heads. 19. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They will not satisfy their souls, nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. 20. As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore why have made it like refuse to them? 21. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. 22. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place, for robbers shall enter it and defile it. 23. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. 24. Therefore why will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses, I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. 25. See, destruction comes, they will seek peace, but there shall be none. 26. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priests, and counsel from the elders. 27. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve I will judge them, then they shall know that I am the Lord.
This particular prophecy is near far. Near, that it happened when Nebuchadnezzar invaded the land. Far, in that it's going to happen again. But it's also pointed towards the church as well as Israel. God promises these three things: famine, pestilence, the sword. That's the consequence of sin when people don't repent. I want to say that Revelation 6, 1 through 8, parallel this particularly closely. Before we conclude the Matthew 24 prophecy on the judgment of the wicked servant, the good servant, on no man knows the day nor the hour, I want to emphasize that the church, Israel, the remnant of Israel, and the Gentile nations who represent those who do not believe that Jesus is the Father, that this prophecy applies to everyone. We shall all go through great tribulation. Now what I want to say is that Jesus is interested in us being prepared before the great day of his wrath, before the day of great tribulation. Are we ready? Are we prepared? What is our plan? What is our escape plan? Remember, that will be the final lesson in this series, but you will need to know all of this, before we get to the final lesson. Lastly, I want to say that meat in due season is prophecy. We need to teach prophecy to the people in the Acts 2:38 church. There are many people that have gone to meat but haven't drank milk yet. Milk is the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Acts 2:38 plan of salvation, the Hebrews 6, 1 through 3 fundamentals of the faith, and the confession of Romans 10, 9 through 13, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If we believe this confession, then we know that Jesus is the only Father that we can see. The pure in heart shall see the face of God. And of course, the face of God is the face of Jesus Christ. He's the only God you can see. Jesus said in John 14, 9, if you see me, you have seen the Father. If you get to heaven and see some other guy on one of three thrones with a big long white beard, you're in the wrong place. Notice in the Ezekiel 7 prophecy that Jesus stresses the word abomination several times. Let me rehash with you what the abominations in the Old Testament are. Number one, cross-dressing, women wearing that which pertains to a man, and a man wearing that which pertains to a woman. Deuteronomy 22:5. Also, homosexuality, Leviticus 18. A man should not lie with a man, nor a woman with a woman. And another abomination, the abomination of desolation, worshiping an image, whether it be your own or a statue of somebody else. These are all abominations, including abortion. Killing your children is the abomination of the Old Testament. So God has a bone to pick with the planet, with the false church, with the Gentile nations, with unrepentant Israel. It's their abominations, and also not worshiping in spirit and in truth. Chaos is the key sign that the church is not worshiping in spirit and in truth. You can hear a lot of nice music with a lot of people seem to be worshiping in spirit, and that's good. But are we worshiping in truth? Are we obeying the Acts 2:38 plan of salvation, being baptized in the name of Jesus? What I've noticed is that people will pray for their food in the name of Jesus. They'll lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. What they'll do is everything in the name of Jesus except baptize in the name of Jesus. Paul commands us, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. You can see that Ezekiel 7 is pointed directly at all of us. I can feel it in my soul.